It's time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitt Madness.
And here he goes. Defense wins championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Here are your hosts, Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes.
Well, hello and good morning. It's Mid Madness 95.3 WBCK. Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes getting set to talk Michigan sports for the next hour. We're almost going to run the entire gamut. I mean, the only thing we're not going to talk about today is the Pistons. We've got everything going on because the Tigers are still playing baseball. NHL hockey is back. We're in the full swing of NFL and college football as well. So we'll get into everything that we possibly can within an hour, plus make our picks at the end of the show. We got some redemption on our minds after a really bad week last week. But before we get into any of that, DJ, how's it going, man?
I'm in the middle. Fantasy was okay this weekend. The Tigers are still making me proud, so I'm happy about that. My Packers won, but everything else about sports for me has not been so great. Great recently. Sorry.
Last week was hell for me. Every way you could look at it, the Crimson Tide lost to a team that I hadn't lost to in 40 years. We're just going to not talk about that. The Steelers lost to the friggin' Cowboys at 1:30 in the morning on the last play of the game. I lost my fantasy game. My girlfriend's team, the Colts, they lost to a winless team, to the Jaguars. Luckily for her, Notre Dame didn't play because also Michigan lost. Like, it was not a good weekend. But thankfully, it's been a good week leading up to what is shaping up to be a very, very fun sports weekend for Michigan fans and for fans like me who are just Michigan fan adjacent, whether that's the Tigers, the Lions, or in this case for college football this weekend, the Spartans. So let's get things started with the most pressing thing going on. First of all, DJ and I both send our apologies because we turned on the game 4 of the Tigers and Guardians. I turned on the game literally 2 or 3 pitches before the 2-run homer go ahead. I believe it was at the top of the 6th or the 7th.
I turned on bottom of the 8th to see us retire with 2 batters left on 2nd and 3rd and then proceed to give up an insurance run. So, yeah.
So one of the major things that did happen late in that game was that Carpenter got hurt with the hamstring as he was coming in to score. And he was out of that 4-batter rotation there in the 9th that, you know, give them credit where it's due, that they were able to get somebody back in and give themselves a shot. But Carpenter not being a part of that rotation of, you know, where he would have been in to give them a chance at something very magical in that space, that's got to hurt. But overall, I mean, not the worst performance in a game 4 where you've got to have it and you're at home. You know, I think there's plenty to be proud of there. Obviously, you didn't want to get to a game 5 and go back to Cleveland, but I mean, props for the effort on that, especially when you're dealing with an injury to one of your big hitters.
I mean, I'm okay with, you know, what we saw, but realistically, the bullpen's got to know they got to step up.
Yeah.
You know, you got to win that kind of game at home where the crowd's behind you so that you don't get into a pivotal game 5 on the road because, you know, if we do. And hoping that tonight the Tigers win game 5, which is going to be at 8:08 p.m., you know, so then we move on to the ALCS. But if that happens again and we lose that pivotal game 4 in Comerica Park and we're going 2-2, guess where we're going back to? Yankee Stadium, and that ain't fun. I don't want to be playing a game 5 in Yankee Stadium, winner goes all. Even with Scooble on the mound, I love the guy and trust him, but man, that is a tough environment to win a must-win game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing that separates the championship contenders from the guys that are, you know, a little bit more hopeful, wishful in getting to where they want to be. But you brought it up. The Yankees have already punched their ticket to the ALCS. On the other side, the Mets have already punched their ticket to the NLCS, getting the series win over the Phillies. The Padres and Dodgers is decided before the show airs, but after we record, so we don't know who's going to be in over there. I mean, Dodgers or Padres, whoever's in there, the Tigers are still kind of the odd man out of all the teams remaining.
No.
As far as perspective goes.
Because those Mets are very much in the same scenario.
True, but I think the Mets have a little bit more obvious things going for them.
They don't think so? No.
I think, saw a pretty strong defense about the Mets the other day.
I think they're riding the momentum just like the Tigers are. And they happened to run into a team that wasn't quite ready off the bye, the Phillies. And that's not the first time that's happened in the AL where a team comes off the bye and just is not ready. The Phillies did it a couple years ago to the Braves. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of normal.
And there is that benefit to the way that the Tigers specifically got into the playoffs was on a huge stretch of momentum. And the way momentum swings in baseball is curious, but nonetheless, that's why they were able to sweep the Astros and then get started hot against the Guardians as well. I mean, confidence level going back to Cleveland, though, just to put everything into perspective, do you think that this is kind of too much for them to overcome, especially if Carpenter can't go with the hamstring issue? I know Skuball's on the mound, and that erases a lot of doubt. But, I mean, what's your confidence level heading back to Cleveland in Game 5?
I think that erases all doubt for Tigers
all
fans.
All doubt.
Like, we're all like, yo, the ace is on the mound. Like,
right.
We need one run. Why? I honestly think A.J. Hinch could turn to Tarik Skubal and go, hey, we need you to pitch a CG today, and we're going to get you 1 to 2 runs. Shut them out. Limit them to one. And yeah. I feel like he'll look at the challenge and go, yeah, okay, I'm going to do it.
Gotcha, boss.
And yeah, like, I have all trust that he can do that, and I think a lot of other Tigers fans feel the same way. I think that had he pitched, you know, like Game 3 or whatever and wouldn't be ready to do – or I think he did pitch Game 3. He pitched Game 2. Had he pitched Game 3 or 4 and was not ready to pitch Game 5, then I think this is a little bit scarier for Tigers fans, because then we have to put someone else on the mound. But being able to go back to our true ace, who's already 1-0 in the series and has been phenomenal, not just in the playoffs, but all year, it settles a lot of doubt moving forward for, you know, at least this game. And if we're able to win this one, then I feel good putting him on the mound twice against the Yankees too.
All right, that does leave me to have to ask the question. Let's say Skubal, you know, isn't able to shut him out or gives up maybe two. And this is the end of the line for the Tigers. Let's say that there's no more Detroit baseball after tonight. And nobody wants that, obviously. But, I mean, just a perspective on the season, the fact that this turned into a successful season, that they were able to grind their way into the postseason and make a run at things and make it difficult on what is a very good Guardians team, especially with the pitching that they've got and the batting being so bad for Detroit all this time. If this is the end of the line, how do you feel about the Tigers not only this season but moving forward?
This is going to be probably an unpopular opinion, but I think we need to buy out Javi Baez and release him.
Did you say unpopular?
Yes.
I don't think anybody's arguing.
I only say that because the other thing is throwing the kitchen sink at Tarik Skubal. But I think you can wait to do that.
Mm.
I think he's bought into the team and he's bought into the city and he wants to play for the Tigers. So you can have him for another year before you throw the kitchen sink at him. Buy out Javi Baez, release him, move on, so that you have that monkey off your back, and then you throw the kitchen sink at Tarik Skubal and sign him for whatever it is that you want to do to make the man a Tiger for life. Because what we don't need happening is another situation like Justin Verlander. Do not trade this man at the last second for no reason when he wants to be in Detroit. Sign this man for a long time.
No arguments here. All right, let's talk about the Red Wings real quick. NHL season got started. They dropped the opener to the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, if there's one team I'm comfortable with Detroit losing to, it's Pittsburgh. Sorry. But I'm not even going to try to say this kid's name. But Sidney Crosby and a whole host of players.
Oh, are you talking about Beauvillier?
Beauvillier. Yeah, I thought I could hit it. And then as soon as I was about to say it, I was like, yeah.
It might even be Beauvillier. Villiers.
See, that's where you're getting yourself.
It's probably Beauvillier.
Yeah.
That is hard.
Can you tell we have to call a football game tonight?
Facts. That's so much easier.
We get all bent out about names. But just thoughts. It's home opener. There's a gazillion games in the season. Nothing to be too worried about, right?
It's kind of tough that you have a home opener in the same night that game four of a possible clincher for the Tigers. I think that took away from some of the energy that possibly could have been in the building. But I think they did get a pretty decent turnout. And I mean, Alex DeBrincat coming out and scoring two goals is huge. You got another one from Vladimir Tarasenko, who you signed in the offseason. So those new additions that you're bringing in, you know, the last couple of years are continuing to shine. And you know that once this team really gets rolling, you're looking to have a positive season. So I think it was just good to have hockey back. And I think more people will start to show as, you know, the season progresses and Tigers baseball kind of fizzles out.
They've got the Nashville Preds tonight, 7 p.m. ESPN Plus before this coming up week. They've got a home and away series there with the New York Rangers. So we'll keep up with the Red Wings, see if they can get off to a hot start this season after dropping that early one to Pittsburgh. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we got to talk about Sparty. They got a shot to make some noise in the Big Ten this weekend. We'll talk about it next here on Mitten Madness, 95.3 WBCK. All right, we're back here on Mitten Madness, 95.3 WBCK. Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes. We're not going to talk about Sparty because they're not playing a game this weekend. Calendars are hard. Let's instead talk about the Detroit Lions because they have one of the biggest games in the entire NFL this weekend as they travel back down to Jerry World to play the Dallas Cowboys, who actually, TJ, haven't won a game at home yet. They have won all three of their games on the road. Interesting. The Lions are 1-0 on the road, for what it's worth. Jared Goff coming off of a perfect 18 for 18 game last week. 1,000 yards, 5 tutties, and 4 picks. Not world-changing numbers by any stretch of the imagination, but the Detroit Lions offense looks like it has gotten back into the swing of things. The Dallas defense still really banged up. Don't think they're going to have Micah Parsons. Trayvon Diggs still is not at 100%. They're down to their fourth and fifth edge rushers on that Cowboys defense, which is still adjusting, by the way, to Zimmer's defense, which is completely different to what they had been doing over the past several years to become one of the best defenses in the NFL. All that to say, DJ, Cowboys are coming off of a crazy win where they played like dog water and still beat my Steelers. And the Lions coming off of a game where they felt relatively perfect. But I think in the back of the minds of every single person in attendance and watching this game through a television screen is thinking about last Christmas when these two matched up and the Lions were cheated because Taylor Decker isn't Dan Skipper. How much does that game play into this, or is this early enough in the season for that to be back of mind, bring it up when it's necessary?
No, I think it matters a lot to the Lions. You know, that's the kind of thing where when you look at the identity of the Lions and how they play football, they don't forget those kinds of things. You know, that's kind of a game where they feel like they should have won and it was stripped from them. And I don't think the Cowboys went to them and were like, man, that was a bad call. You know, they're probably just like, yeah, we beat you. You know what I'm saying? Right. So like they're going to be looking at it to kind of get revenge, and not in a way of like, oh, you know, that happened, so let's get revenge on that. Like more of just proving that they are a better team than the Cowboys, because they were a better team last year and they're still a better team now. And, you know, I don't even think the last game matters too much for the Lions because they had an entire bye week, which is more important. They got healthy. they are 100% healthy for the first time since game one, and arguably not even then, because I think they came into the year with a couple of injuries. And now I feel like this offense is 100% healthy after a bye week. They got that additional rest, and now they're ready to go, fully focused with 2 weeks of prep for the Cowboys, which you may not really need 2 weeks of prep, but anytime you get 2 weeks of prep against any team, you're bound to play well, especially when that team just came off a game where they have to tough it out in a very tough victory. So I feel confident about the Lions heading forward based off the fact that they have the momentum of beating the Seahawks, who they've only done once in the last, 12 seasons or something crazy like that. And that was a team that they've struggled against the last few years. And now they're heading into the Cowboys, who, like you said, are really battling some injuries on the defensive side, which is the real question mark, or I guess the real standing point for the Lions is their offense. It's been putting up large numbers. So if you're going to have trouble stopping them, their defense is going to build off that momentum.
Yeah, when it comes to the injuries for the Lions coming off of that bye, Kirby Joseph questionable in this game. Everybody else is on IR. When you talk about Melifonwu and Marcus Davenport, and those really the only big names, maybe Emmanuel Mosley if you want to get deep into this roster. But the Lions are healthy. You've got that right. And I think a big thing, I think last year plays a role for the Lions just as external motivation, but I don't think it's like the driving force to trying to get this win back, because they know they were better than Dallas last year. They reached the NFC Championship last year, not Dallas. And I think the difference is that the Lions probably feel that they probably would have had a better shot of winning that NFC Championship if it were at Ford Field, which it would have been had the officials known the difference between Dan Skipper and Taylor Decker. But the past is in the past, can't change it. What you can do is move forward and take what's in front of you. And what's in front of you is a Dallas Cowboys team that is severely beat up and really mediocre on offense, to be quite frank. Outside of Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, there ain't anybody wearing the star on the side of their helmet playing good football right now. I'll give Zach Martin, all world guard, I'll give him a pass.
Give my boy Brandon Aubrey a pass. The man can kick a football.
He missed first kick of his career two weeks ago, and then he had one block last week.
It ain't his fault that they can't block up front, and he missing a kick is on him. I'll give you that. But one blemish don't make me he ain't playing good football.
All right, Brandon Aubrey, one of the best kickers in the NFL, I'm not going to lie. But I mean, like, you understand, like, the it's called a short list for a reason. you can put some names on it. It's still a short list. Dallas is not remotely close to where anybody thought they would be this year. The connection between Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb has been marginal at best. And some of the interceptions that Dak threw against Pittsburgh were mind-bogglingly bad. Granted, credit where it's due, he drove the field, won the game at 1:30 in the morning. Not many people could say they did that, but I also think he's the first quarterback to ever throw a pick on two separate days in the same game. So he's got that going for him too. But all things being equal, I think Detroit is kind of in a position here where they could potentially embarrass the Cowboys. I don't know that they will. But I, you know, we're going to pick this game a little bit later, so I don't want to get too crazy into it, but confidence level is through the roof for Detroit in this game, because everything is kind of like it's wind behind their wings kind of situation with the kind of momentum that they have coming out of the bye week, the motivation that they have stemming from last year, the opportunity to show the country, because this is a 4 p.m. game. You know, this is the Tom Brady on the call. Everybody's watching in America's game of the week from Fox. You know, they show the world that they're the best team in the NFC. I mean, why would you doubt the Lions? We haven't even talked about the fact that their run game is absolutely absurd right now, because David Montgomery's playing the best football of his life. Are you serious? Like,
and they still have Jahmyr Gibbs behind him.
Jahmyr Gibbs is still back there.
Knuckles back there going hand in hand.
I've heard a few nicknames for them,
but they
Sonic and Knuckles is the best.
No, they've bought into it too. Like, they call each other Sonic and Knuckles. Like, they like that nickname, and it is perfect for them. The way they run and how their energy you know, is infectious for the team. When those two are feeling good and they're getting off runs and they have that high energy, the linemen kind of pick up that energy and start to block with it. The receivers all of a sudden are open every play. And once you get Jared Goff an open receiver and he scores and you get that scream out of him, it's over with. He's unlocked the top level of Jared Goff. Like, I don't even know what to call it, Master Goff or something, but he's there. Once he lets out that first scream, if you don't get to him soon, be ready for a long day.
The Lions come off of this game to play the Vikings next week, which is going to be huge. Like, that's the who's the best team in the NFC game right there. So you cannot overlook Dallas this weekend. You cannot, I honestly, I don't think you can afford to lose this game either, because that Vikings game could go either way, especially considering it's going to be in Minnesota. So the Lions definitely need to come away with this with some momentum headed into that game, right?
Yeah, I think this is a great time for them to get on a little bit of a hot streak coming out of the bye week. You're able to play the Cowboys, and if you're able to beat them, you're rolling into a game where you're on the road again against the Vikings. You win both those games, you're coming home to play the Titans, which haven't been necessarily great. Will Levis is kind of easy to get at and make memes out of, so you know, I don't see them really having too much trouble with the Titans either. That's three games in a row headed into a hostile environment with the Packers and Lambeau, and then you got to go down to NRG after that to play the Texans before you play the struggling Jaguars. So, I mean, if they're able to string together two road victories before they play a home game, I don't see why that stretch isn't 6-0, and we're not talking about the Lions being 9-1, you know, come week 10, week 11. That's huge.
I mean, that would be huge. I mean, there's some difficult games in there, especially. I mean, but the Lions are kind of in that position to
ride the momentum.
Well, not just ride the momentum, but establish themselves. We're the best team in the NFC. You know, because Minnesota kind of came out of nowhere, and the 49ers are on a struggle bus right now. It took all they had to beat the Seahawks.
Absolutely. I think the 49ers are slipping, but with the way the NFC, like, I saw somebody say the NFC North is the best division in football right now, and outside of the Bears, yeah. I'm not really disagreeing with that.
Bears are still playing well.
A healthy Jordan Love and the current Minnesota Vikings with the arguably unstoppable Lions and then the struggle bus that's still chugging along Bears, like, and don't get me wrong, I'm being a Packers fan about the Bears right now. They're playing some decent football and are giving teams runs. Even if they're going to lose, they're not losing by a lot. So this is a very good division in football, and if the Lions are going to lead it after winning two tough games on the road, I trust them to beat anybody in the NFL. When you look at who they're playing from the AFC, the Texans will be a tough game. I don't.
The rest of the AFC South is buns.
And maybe the Bills. But everyone else they play on the AFC side, I trust them to handily beat.
Yeah. The NFC North is the only division where every team is above 500 5 weeks through the season. So that is markedly impressive, even with the Lions being the one team to have the bye week there. But yeah, if you can show out here in these two pivotal games at the top of the NFC, no reason you wouldn't be able to ride that momentum into some pivotal matchups on the road against the Packers and Texans to kick off November. But you got to get through October first, and these are some huge, huge games. So we'll be on high alert to see how they go for the Lions. All right, we'll wrap that up, and when we come back, I think you're going to want to hear whatever rant is brewing in the mind of one Dajon Hughes about the Michigan Wolverines. That's next here on Mid and Madness, 95.3 WBCK.
Detroit sports fans, Wolverines and Spartans alike, this is your sports show, Mid and Madness, with Jacob Harrison and Dajon Hughes on 95.3 WBCK.
Madness 95.3 WBCK. Both Michigan and Michigan State went to the other side of the country last weekend. The Spartans went out to Oregon and got their butts handed to them 31-10, and Michigan went out to Washington in what was a de facto rematch of last year's national championship game. Obviously, both teams completely different from what they were last year, especially Washington only returned one starter off of that team last year. But it was the Huskies getting the 10-point victory over the Michigan Wolverines. So, DJ, I'm going to just go ahead and hand things over to you. Not going to intro it too much. The Wolverines have lost two games now, and one was to a very understandably one of the best teams in the country, Texas Longhorns, and that was a bludgeoning. They did turn around and get a huge win over USC at home, but this first cross-country trip in the new-look Big Ten did not go the way they wanted it to.
Absolutely disgusting. Some of the worst football I've seen out of the Michigan Wolverines in the last 5 years, 8 years. Just nasty work. Like, it's almost like they weren't trying. There is at no point where I felt like Washington was better than us. Our defense let Will Rogers carve us up like any other defense he's played this year. Just nasty work. So just, I don't even, it's so hard to talk about because I don't know what happened. I understand the offense having some troubles, but buddy, it's week seven now, week eight. It's week seven. You can't be having these problems anymore. You know what? I was talking to somebody this weekend at a lacrosse tournament because at this point of the year, fall ball, we always end up talking about football. Why is Michigan not running the triple option? Just become Navy.
Vanderbilt. Take a note out of Vanderbilt's playbook.
Can you tell me two undefeated teams right now that are running the triple option? I can. Army and Navy. Sure, they throwing the ball a little bit too, but they show running it, and they looking pretty darn good while doing it. There's a chance that those two teams meet undefeated for their conference title and then turn around and meet week one or in round one of the college football playoff. Because they're using their weapons correctly. You know who's not doing that? Michigan. I'm not saying Michigan would have been an undefeated Big Ten champ again. I'm not even saying Michigan would have made the Big Ten championship. But it would have been real nice to lose this season with maybe two losses, three at the most. But now we got to go play Oregon, who we're probably going to lose to, if we want to be honest here.
Hey, that's 2 weeks from now. You've still got Illinois and Michigan State in between that.
I'm not, man, listen. I'm talking about definite losses right now. At this point, Oregon is a definite loss.
There's some probables.
And I'm going to get to the probables in just a second. Oregon is a definite loss right now. Ohio State is a definite loss right now. You expect me to think this team's going to walk into the horseshoe and come out with a win? Yeah. This team. I would love to think that. I'm going to still root for them. Come last week of November. Good thing they're playing after Thanksgiving.
We'll be hoping for the best.
You know, I am. I'm going to be doing a whole lot of hoping. I already know. Now, let's talk about these probables that are stuck in between. First off, let's talk about Illinois. When was the last time I was scared to play Illinois in football? Never. You know what I am this weekend? Or not this weekend, next weekend?
You already scared.
I'm already scared to play Illinois. All right, like, Illinois is right. This is a 23-24 matchup, and we ain't the 23. And you know what?
You'd be the 24.
You know what? Hey, you read my mind, because this time next week, we might not even be the 24, and we on the bye week.
You get fired on your day.
Yeah, man, that kind of energy is what's going to be spewing out soon. It's ridiculous. And then we got to play Michigan State after that, who, I mean, they're not great, but these are the kind of years where Michigan loses to Michigan State. These are the kind of years, and all my Michigan fans know exactly what I'm talking about. The year with the punt, where homie just picked up the ball and tried to punt it again instead of just falling on it and the game being over. It's one of those kind of years. I can sense it. I don't even want to watch the game, but I'm going to have to. We still got to play Indiana this year, who's playing good football too. Terrified to play Indiana.
Indiana is currently number one in the Big Ten. The only team with three conference wins.
Bruh, I don't want to play anybody in the Big Ten anymore right now. I don't. I don't have any trust. We talked about this. I think we have Northwestern on the schedule, which is like nice.
Hey, that's a dub.
That should be a dub, but and knowing us, it's going to be like a 13-10 game going into the fourth quarter. And I'm going to cry. I'm not feeling great about this team right now. I'm not. And if you watch the same game I watched on Saturday, you feel the exact same way I do right now. It was pitiful. Sharon Moore needs to just pivot the offense to triple option. But you know what? I don't even know if he feels comfortable doing that because the offensive line ain't blocking enough. They're not doing their job. You got one job as the offensive lineman. Look at the guy across from you, pick him by his jersey, get him in between the pads and put him in the ground. How hard is that? How hard is that? You've been doing it for how long now? You're 6'5", 300 pounds, and you can't pick the guy up across from you? You shouldn't be playing on the Michigan offensive line. You knew what you were signing up for when you signed up to be an offensive lineman at Michigan. Do your job. It is plain and simple. And can we use Samaje Morgan again? Can we use Tyler Morris? Why is Colston Loveland the only person we look at in the passing game? You don't think teams are going to pick up on that and start double-teaming him or something? Have a safety hover over while having a linebacker play a man-to-man? There's so many things they can do to take out our only offensive option in the pass game. And for the love of God, if we will stop giving Donovan Edwards so many touches. Khalil Mullings is RB1. And at this point, let somebody be too, because big game Don ain't showed up yet.
And Donovan had 14 carries, 95 yards, and a tutty last week to Mullings, 14 carries for 49 yards. Number 7 did have a 39-yard rush.
I'll give him that.
So
decent game.
Numbers were practically
that,
identical.
That must have been when I wasn't watching. That must have been when I wasn't watching. So I decent job, Donovan, but not enough. That's Michigan State. I think you guys are doing pretty okay for where you could be right now. I almost want to be a Michigan State fan this year.
Well, that's rough. The only games Michigan State has lost are the games they were expected to. They were not expected to beat Boston College, Ohio State, or Oregon. And in 2 weeks' time, next week they will play Iowa, which is a team that they match up with very well and could potentially beat if they can get around that Hawkeye defense and have some momentum before they head to Ann Arbor and play the Wolverines in the Big House. And the Wolverines themselves could be coming off of a tightly contested win or a very disappointing loss when they have their trip to Illinois. And Illinois is playing pretty good football right now, so dangerous circumstances here. But you know things are bad. Things are very bad when you start suggesting we should play football like Army and Navy. when you got to turn to playing like a service academy, it means you haven't recruited well. It means your guys aren't bought in, and athletically they aren't standing up to what they need to be. Because in all reality, man, Washington is a very mid program this year. Like I said, they returned one starter from that national championship team. They are not the same Huskies you guys saw in January. The Wolverines aren't either, but at least some of these dudes that are playing for Michigan this year played in that game last year or had some sort of influence or impact in them reaching that status. You ain't seeing it. Michigan, like, I think DJ's a little scorched earth, a little doomsday, and is drastically different from how I feel about my Tide after they lost to Vanderbilt. But I can understand it because you look at the rest of that schedule, and it is a murderer's row for a team built like the Wolverines are to try to overcome this and salvage something into, I don't even know what your goal is at this point. Is it bowl eligibility? Because there's only one guaranteed win left on this schedule, and good luck finding the second one, let alone the third and fourth, which is probably what you're going to actually need in a conference with 18 teams in it. Good luck. We'll be back with our picks next year on Mitten Madness, 95.3 WBCK.
95.3 WBCK.
Back here on We're back here on Mitten Madness 95.3 WBCK. Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes, and it is time for our picks. Last week didn't go so well, DJ.
No, for either one of us, we both went 2-4. Our split games saved both of us from being worse than that. So kudos to us for not agreeing on some things. But that gives you a still 2-game lead at 21-15, while I'm chilling at 19-17.
Still comfortably above 500. No matter how things go, you at least want to have that going for you. Don't yes. fall too far behind. But we have got some difficult games to pick this week. If you ask me, all of these are heavy hitter games. There are no gimmies here. So let's get right into it with a huge SEC matchup. It's in Death Valley. It's under the lights. And it is prove it time for the Ole Miss Rebels, Land Sharks, whatever they want to be called. Lane Kiffin's boys are going into the Tiger Den to take on the LSU Tigers. And both teams have that one loss on the season, but the Rebels coming off a big, big win over South Carolina last week, a game in which I chose the Gamecocks. Ole Miss is now a 3.5-point favorite in this game, has a 67.3% chance to win, but all those analytics don't make up for the fact that you are playing at Death Valley, and the LSU Tigers have a tendency to walk away with those with W's. DJ, who you got?
Oh man, this one's a little bit tougher. You know, LSU is very comfortable when they're playing at home in Death Valley. That is a very tough place to go into and play. But Mississippi did open as 3.5-point favorites, and Jackson Dart has been playing amazing football, and he's clapping back on Twitter when people got stuff to say to him, or you know, some clip gets dropped where you know somebody made a play against him and he's like, check the scoreboard or something like that. Like, homie's got the swag to play good ball, and I don't know who I'm gonna go LSU just because they're at home. I want to pick Ole Miss very bad, but it's gonna come down to defense, and I think they may be able to get just a couple more turnovers with that defense behind them.
Now, not to compare apples and oranges, but playing at South Carolina is a difficult task, and they passed that test with flying colors. Playing at LSU under the lights, not easy, especially in October, but I trust Jackson Dart a heck of a lot more than I do Garrett Nussmeier. So I am going to go with the Rebels. I'm not going to make the same mistake twice in a week.
I may return to that at some point, but we're going to move on for the time being. Ohio State is going to be headed out west for the first time in this new Big Ten scenario. They're going to be taking on the number 3 team in the country, the Oregon Ducks, who are 5-0 on the year, 2-0 in this conference, which is the exact same record as those Buckeyes on the other side. Will Howard seems to be on par with what we're seeing from Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel has a couple hundred more yards, but they're both thrown 3 interceptions on the year. Will Howard's got 12 TDs to Dylan Gabriel's 11. And then the running backs are near the same, just 28 less carries for Quinshon Judkins, but just under 100 less yards. And then they each have 5 TDs, but obviously
Travion Henderson
is taking some of that. And also the Ohio State Buckeyes have Jeremiah Smith, who you can't not throw the ball to. Obviously these teams are 5-0 in their last 5. Some big victories on both sides, some close victories on the Oregon side. Are you trusting the Buckeyes to go in and take care of business on the road and introduce Oregon to the new Big Ten, or will Oregon continue to make waves in what is now the craziest conference across all of football?
I don't know about introducing Oregon to Big Ten football, because Oregon was the most Big Ten team out of the 4 that joined the conference.
They still ain't Big Ten. And for the point, Ohio State is a true Big Ten team.
True.
So that point still stands.
All I'm saying is when you look at that spread and it says -3 Ohio State, ignore that and don't play it because this game is going to raise blood pressures. It is going to be tight and it is going to be hard fought. All that to be said, Ohio State, I hate to say it, has way too much offensive firepower. Way too much. It is a cheat code what they have in the backfield next to Will Howard. It is a cheat code that Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to the NFL, and then here comes Jeremiah Smith, one of the two 17-year-old phenomenons in the college football world landscape right now, and arguably a lot of people think the better of the two, and I don't blame them for that, as biased as I am in the other side of that discussion with Ryan Williams. Will Howard doesn't have to think back there. It is get the ball to the playmakers and let them dominate. Dylan Gabriel doesn't have that same luxury. Gabriel has to be a playmaker for his team, and he's going to have a tough time doing that against Ohio State's defense, which I think is still a knock lower than what it has been in the past. You know, hasn't exactly given up a ton of points this year. I'm going with the Buckeyes, man. I hate it.
I'm not going to pump these guys up too much because I can't even bring myself to do it. Ohio State's going to win the game. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, we both hate it. We both hate it, but we had to do what had to be done. All right, let's head down to the newest rivalry in the SEC. See? the All-State Red River rivalry, the showdown, shootout, whatever you want to call it, Texas and Oklahoma do battle at the Cotton Bowl as SEC programs for the first time. Oklahoma coming off of their first SEC conference win in a huge way. The score didn't indicate. They handled Auburn out on the plains, and Texas really took it to Mississippi State, who doesn't really stack up well with anybody. Arch Manning has been the guy in place of Quinn Ewers. Has not played badly. Probably do want to see a little bit more out of him, but hey, he hasn't had any reason to not play safe football. It's all on the line now, though. You got to beat Oklahoma if you are the number one team in the land. That's Texas. They got an 85.1% chance of victory, and they are 14.5 point favorites, and a lot of that might have to do with the fact that Oklahoma has a little bit of a quarterback controversy of their own. DJ, who you got in the Red River Showdown?
Real quick, I just want to say I have backtracked my LSU pick.
No way.
I am going to go with Ole Miss. I've been sitting and thinking for that
for a little bit.
And
Is that legal?
Yes, as long as this doesn't, I have to do it before we press stop on the recording, and I have done so. Maybe we need to make true bylaws before we get going again, but that will be in the bylaws.
I'm not gonna lie.
So it's going to be even for you as well.
I hope LSU wins now.
That will be so funny.
I'll take the L if you're coming down with me.
But as far as this game goes, Texas is the number one team in the country for a reason. They have given us no reason not to. They looked extremely good against the Michigan Wolverines, and that's not saying a ton at this very moment, but to beat the defending champs the way they did, very comfortably, I'm here for it. And as big as a game as the Red River rivalry is.
Wow. Wow. Y'all just go and call your rivalry game the game.
It's for a reason.
You get asked to say the name of an actual rivalry game.
I'm picking Texas, Tim.
I'm picking Texas, too. I think we need to speed up a little bit.
That's going to take us over into the NFL, which is so much easier to talk about. We'll get going with
the Maryland Showdown.
Yes, that is, in fact, the Maryland Showdown. Washington is not playing in Washington, D.C. They play their games in Maryland, just like every other D.C. team that we know. But nonetheless, they're taking on the Baltimore Ravens. The Commanders, a surprising 4-1 on the year, as most people will tell you. And the Ravens, 3-2. Ravens open up at 6.5 point favorites. They're currently 7 point favorites with a 65.1% chance to win as they're hosting the Commanders at M&T Bank Stadium. Will Lamar Jackson continue his winning ways against the NFC, who is notoriously bad against LJA, or will the Commanders continue to shock the NFL this year?
Yeah, you're right. Lamar Jackson does not lose to NFC teams very often. He reserves that for playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. But nonetheless, I'll tell you what, I'm rooting hard for the Commanders. They put the bang thing on Cleveland. They put the bang thing on Arizona. They outshot Cincinnati. I think this is going to be another shootout. Here's the reason why. I appreciate the fact that on this three-game winning streak, Baltimore has gotten back to their roots, and they're running the ball through a face with Derrick Henry the way that they're supposed to do, but they even struggled to do that against Cincinnati's defense, and it's why they almost lost that game. Washington can run the football with or without Jaden Daniels, with or without Brian Robinson, and they play better defense than Baltimore does. Not in a biased form, I am going to pick the Washington Commanders to get to 5-1.
That sounds real biased, but so far Derrick Henry has arguably been the best running back in the NFL. LJ8's back there, and he doesn't really lose to the NFC North. I go with trends, which means I have the Ravens winning this game.
Let's get out to the NFC South, which is, you know, records being what they are. The NFC South is a fun division as long as you ignore that team out in Carolina. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints are second and third in the division because Atlanta has really picked things up over the past few weeks. But this should be a very fun game, especially with emotions being extremely high. Tampa getting absolutely devastated by the latest hurricane to come through with Milton. New Orleans knows all about that. This taking place in the Superdome. Emotions are going to be high. Both these teams are going to be ready to go. DJ, who do you have in this battle for NFC South supremacy behind Atlanta down in the Caesar Superdome?
I got to go with the Bucs here. I feel a little bit more confident in their defense, and they also still have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, who are fantastic receivers. I'm just going to trust their defense to get one more stop than the Saints D. Not confident in that, but that's where my mind is.
Yeah, I like the Saints defense more than I like the Buccaneers defense. However, given the circumstances, if you're looking for an emotional victory, who else do you want to be your quarterback except for Baker Mayfield? Oh, and by the way, Derek Carr doubtful to play in this game. not a whole lot of reason there to feel confident that the Saints are going to be able to get the ball to their playmakers without Carr. I'm going to stick with the Bucs here as well.
That gets us to the last game of the week, the most exciting one for all of us here. The Lions are going to be taking on those Cowboys down in Jerry World A&T Stadium. They are favorited to win. 56.7% of the Metro Predictor opened up at 3.5-point favorites. It is now currently 3. Does Dak Prescott have enough to beat the Detroit Lions, or will they continue to cement themselves as the best team in the NFC at this current moment?
Dak Prescott does. The Dallas Cowboys don't. Dak Prescott is playing pretty well, all things considered. The rest of the Cowboys aren't. It's because most of them aren't available. And by the way, if I'm Dan Campbell, I'm putting Dan Skipper as a tackle eligible for about 85% of this game. Just to rub it in some faces. And even if that means I'm just going to run the ball a gazillion times, I'm here for it. David Montgomery might be playing like the second best running back in the NFL if Derrick Henry is first. come on. I'm taking the hometown team. And that means the Detroit Lions.
I mean, I'm obviously going to take the Lions here. I don't like the Cowboys as a Packers fan, so I will almost never pick them to win a game unless it is clear cut, and this one is not. So go Detroit Lions, which means we are the same almost down the board. Our one switch is Ravens over Commanders. You have the Commanders, I have the Ravens. We both have Lions, Ole Miss, OSU, Texas, and the Bucks. Send us into the weekend.
I'm pulling hard for LSU. All right, let's get into this weekend. You got a lot of fun stuff coming up. That Ohio State-Oregon game, it's going to be right here on WBCK. Pregame for that is going to get started tonight at about 7 o'clock. You also get the Sunday Night Football matchup tomorrow night as well. That is Bengals-Giants. Interesting matchup there. That is all we've got. Obviously, Michigan is on bye. So next week, we can look forward to what we've got coming up for high school football. I think we're going to get back out to Marshall is where we're going to be. So we'll give you more details on that as the week progresses, and we'll see you then. Till then, that's Dejon Hughes, and I'm Jacob Harrison. Y'all take it easy.
Join Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.